What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of MMA Grinders Live. I'm your host, Brett Apley. Most of you guys know me as BB Bomb, and I'm here with a still clean-shaven, dressed in blue, said he would paint his face, but he did not. Co-host Mike H3 Buddha. Mike, how's it going, man?
Good, good. Not sure where, how, or what I would do if I went into work tomorrow morning with residue, blue residue on my face. Probably wouldn't be a good look.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they sell paint that you can wash off.
I don't know. I might want to wear it the next day, Brett.
Well, okay. I see. I feel like you said, Brett, I want to paint my face blue and white. I said, yes, please do that. And you said, I will. And here you are. Your face is red, not blue and white. disappointing, but maybe next time it's in some random country, we'll have you paint your face there. It is the UFC Scotland, Glasgow version of the UFC. Obviously a step down in a sense from last week. There was, you know, one of the craziest weeks of the year with back-to-back fight cards. 213 was the big one on Saturday. How'd you do?
Not well. It was both cards back-to-back. Nice thing, though, is losing on Friday night was that you're able to get right back on the horse. It's the rare chance that we get to. And it wasn't optimal. I got off of Gaethje late and went to Michael Johnson based on odds. Probably wasn't the most ideal situation. But I know you were there live, and you got to see one of the best fights ever. So get your take on that.
Yeah, it was a great fight to see live. Unfortunately, the night started with, I think, Maynard beating Ishihara, so that killed most of the lineups that I had. There a bunch of the Daily Fantasy group, MMA group was there, Big Marley, Gravy Cake, Sun Tzu, Old T, et cetera. Yeah, it was good hanging out with them. Fun to see the fights live. Saturday was going well, except for, I think I only got one pick wrong, but the pick was Travis Brown, and I had a ton of them. And so when he lost, I was only down to my hedge lineups. And I think it came down to, like, I needed like 160 points from Whitaker and Overeem to win the $3 Q and probably get top five in the takedown, if not higher. And they both won, but Overeem scored like 40 points and Whitaker scored 70. So, it was an okay night. Could have been much better, but was fun being down there. And like we said, getting right back on the horse this week for UFC Glasgow. So you ready to jump into the picks?
Yeah, let's not overlook that Overeem was – he has to have been the lowest scoring winner ever in DraftKings. I think that was
– he scored, what, 41 or something?
Yeah, in a win. So 25, two-thirds of it is – it's sad.
Yeah, that was nuts. And it's, you know, it's, look, it's getting harder and harder to predict how high scoring these fights are going to be. If we're getting guys like Cody Stamann scoring 135 points based on grappling, it's just, it almost becomes not necessary to target these heavyweight fights. And maybe that's something we can talk about here. Let's jump into the first fight of the night, though. And just before I get started, I'll just quickly say, like, we're going to break down these fights as best we can. But if you want the full breakdowns, plus projections, rankings, et cetera, you can find all that in the marketplace here on Roto Grinders MMA Premium. It was, I think, probably a record week last week, both in money generated and just the total amount of subscribers. It was great to see. Really appreciated it. And there was, I think we had guys win the takedown both nights. Someone got into the queue. So it's always great to see subscribers winning, and hoping to get, you know, the same again this week. So first fight of the night, Leslie Smith versus the debuting Amanda Lemos. Smith opens as the favorite, -190, Lemos +165 on DraftKings. Smith is more expensive, 8.4K, Lemos 7.8K. Mike, what do you got here?
Well, I guess the general theme on this card is I really like the matchmaking. I think matchmaking is pretty good on this card. This is the one fight, though, that you have a striker versus striker. Smith here, the veteran, just comes off a win, kind of an upset win against Irene Aldana. That was a fantastic fight to watch. And I was really impressed with her volume of striking. She picked it up. I mean, it wasn't necessarily, you know, Johanna. It's nothing that you can bank on every single fight. But I believe that the UFC's kind of put her in a spot with a newcomer where she can rack up a good amount of points and maybe potentially have a good floor. Lemos does possess some power in her hands, though. That's a little bit concerning. But I do, off the bat here, when I saw the odds, I think it could get a little bit steeper for Smith, maybe 250 by the end of this, because she does have the possibility of just winning a great decision, pure volume and output. Lemos came in, I believe, on late notice for this fight. Smith was supposed to fight Lena Landsberg, which that fight would have been fantastic. But there's some hype behind Lemos. She's kind of, you know, she's got the power and everything. So I don't know if I'd have a ton of shares of Lemos. I think that Smith is pretty durable. I know that she was knocked out by Chris Cyborg. Listen, I don't think Lemos has the power that Chris Cyborg does. I think that Leslie should be able to use her height advantage, and I'm gonna guess a reach advantage. It was kind of difficult to find Lemos's actual reach advantage on this one, but definitely I'm definitely interested for 8400 on Smith, and I'm interested as to what you think necessarily the ceiling would be on her.
Well, I think we saw the ceiling last time around, and she scored well over 100, I believe. You know, when Smith is on, she's landing 6 significant strikes per minute, and maybe gets a knockdown in there. That is her upside. It's not likely that either fighter finishes this fight. Lemos definitely has power, like you said, and you know, Smith is really hittable, so Lemos has upside in the sense. I just think there's so many live dogs this week that Lemos isn't one of my favorite, especially just coming in on, you know, as a debuter or debutante, whatever you want to say, flying from Brazil to Scotland to take on a real experienced veteran. I just don't want to invest that much of my money in Lemos, but I will definitely have some shares of Smith. Most likely she doesn't reach that 100 point upside, but you know, she's in the mid-range. So if you're making mid-range focused GBP lineups, I think she's a fine play. I think she can definitely score 85 in a decision. Probably not the heaviest fight we'll target on the night, but a little bit of exposure I think is good.
Yeah, definitely a little bit of exposure. And I know Big Marley has been an advocate of trying to get 10x out of these mid-range people. And I think it's a pretty good you know, return. We haven't really found any sizing that makes sense, you know, for instance, you know, basketball, you want 5x, right? I mean, 4 or 5x to be a safe play, right? Mm-hmm. I think the Big Marley's definitely onto something when we look at the 8,400 and you say 8.4, 10 times 84 points. Can she do that? Definitely. But yeah. Definitely a fight. We'll definitely sprinkle in a little bit.
Cool. Well, let's move on to the next fight, which I think will be fairly popular, at least on one end. We have Brett Johns versus Albert the Warrior Morales. Johns comes in as the second heaviest favorite currently, minus 370. Morales is plus 310. On DraftKings, Johns is the most expensive fighter, which throws a wrench into things, 9.3K. Morales 6.9K, and it, you know, it's a different matchup than Blades at the top last week, but same thing. You know, we want to target wrestlers, and Johns landed like 11 takedowns in his last fight. Are you going to be paying up for him this week?
It's interesting because we had that Blades situation last week, and it's getting more and more difficult to kind of see what's going to happen, but long term we're looking at the wrestlers. So I do like Johns a lot. I find myself building already without him, but that the takedown is huge. I mean, it's 5 points, 5 points, and he's got the rinse repeat recipe. He knows how to win. I think people are not giving him his credit really on the feet, and I think they're really just thinking he's going to win it, you know, strictly by takedowns. And I understand that, but Morales has a tendency of getting into these wars, and I don't think getting into a war with Johns is going to be a great idea. Morales didn't he have a draw in his first fight and then came back and got the win? Or was it a loss, I think?
He had a draw, and then he lost to Almeida, and then he won most recently.
Yeah, he's also something long-term that I've been looking at is late replacement guys. Morales is 2 weeks' notice on this fight. We're not too sure. I don't think he was getting ready for a fight. Decent turnaround on him as well. I think Johns can pay off the 9,300. My concern is very much that Morales is able to survive on the ground and just not really be able to advance his position. So I find myself fading him from a tournament point of view, but I think he's arguably the safest guy in the card, though, at the same token. Do you agree that he's probably the safest because of those takedowns and the grind that he has?
Yeah. Takedowns is what gives you the floor. And look, Morales could win the fight, but Johns went for the takedown so aggressively. When he was on the feet, he's not a great striker, but he still strikes actively. He has great cardio. He has a high floor. Unless he gets finished quickly, he's still probably going to score 40, 50 points, even in a loss. I don't think Morales is going to be able to stop him completely. And people are saying, well, you know, Morales is a bit tougher than Quan Ho Kwok. But, you know, ideally what we want is Johns to take him down and Morales to be tough enough to get back up. That's how you actually score points. So maybe he is tougher than Kwok, but maybe that just means, you know, he gets up a ton of times and Johns keeps taking him down. I don't maybe see 11 takedowns, but I definitely think Johns can get him down a few times throughout the fight. I don't have any problems with paying up for Johns. I think the main issue is just if there are five fighters who score more than him, they will just be on the winning lineup based on the price. So he's kind of, you know, he has a chance to get screwed out of it that way, but he has 120 point upside, and I don't care really what price he is. I want some exposure to him because we've seen what he can do, and this is definitely a reasonable fight for him to duplicate that score. So, are you going to have any Morales?
Yeah, I really think I will. And at 6,900, I think he can get the significant strikes that pays off in cash. I know we always talk about the two different things, stacking versus taking the lowest guy. I think there's a little bit of merit in taking him. But I don't know really what we're going to get out of him. It's just going to be significant strikes. So it could be a reverse in there, something like that on the ground or against the cage. I am interested in Morales a bit, though, but not nearly as much. I love Johns again. He has that floor, built-in floor.
Yeah, I think Morales is okay in cash games. Not that you have to go there, but in tournaments, I still expect him to be on his back for a bit. I still expect him to be pressed against the cage for a bit. I don't think he's going to land takedowns, so I don't really think he has the upside for tournaments that I want. Maybe he goes up there and wins by knockout, but I don't think that's a likely outcome. And there's just, like I said, so many live dogs. I'd rather invest elsewhere. Let's move on to the next fight. Probably the toughest one for me personally to research. Danny Henry fighting Daniel Tamer. Tamer is the twin brother of David Tamer. Not to be confused. I don't know if that was one of your talking points. Sorry. But Tamer comes in minus 220. Henry the dog at plus 180 on DraftKings. Tamer 9K and Henry 7.2K. How are you going to navigate this one?
With caution. Simple answer. It's again, we've been finding these newcomers all the time now. Just a general observation on Daniel Tamer. I think his brother David was more happy that he won his last fight than actually Daniel was. He ran in the ring after a knockout for Tamer. He knocked him out standing, and he ran in the cage and picked him up and was running around. And I mean, David is great. He was a great underdog the last time. Something about Daniel Tamer, is he's able to keep distance very well. From video that I was looking at, he was able to keep distance. He's got brutal leg kicks. I mean, they're very good leg kicks. And I'm concerned about the feet and seeing, I don't know if the distance I'm not sure the output on it. I think you're depending on a Timur knockout in this situation. Henry's kind of a tougher guy to dig into. There wasn't a whole heck of a lot I could really, really dig into on him. I had kind of heard he's got a bad takedown defense, but he should have an advantage on the ground, which is very big for us on DraftKings. Now, I don't see it at all hitting the ground. I'm probably stealing your talking points. I think it's going to be a slugfest on the feet. And I don't think Timur is going to try to take him to the ground. It just doesn't make it. It's not his game plan. So I'm concerned at 9,000 for Timur to pay off his price. Although I'm definitely interested in him because I think he will win the fight. I do know that home cooking can happen. Henry is the Scottish fighter. I'm almost looking at this fight as a fade. I almost tweeted it out earlier because you're relying on Timur getting a knockout, right? Or something like a flash knockout in the first or second. Would you agree with that?
I mean, there's just, I agree with a lot of what you said. There's, especially on Henry's side, there's just not that much out there. The only thing I found really on him was, in highlight reels, essentially. And I think he has a decent ground game, but like you said, I don't think he has the wrestling really. Timur seems like a more polished striker. So I give him the advantage on the feet. On paper, I guess you give the advantage on the ground to Henry, although Timur's looked good himself. So really, I've just been shifting off, digging in too much of the analysis side and just focusing on DraftKings. Timur's 9K. Pantoja's also 9K. I want some exposure to Timur because he could get a knockout. I mean, he looks decent. I think he'll have an okay inside distance prop that hasn't come out yet. But it's just so hard to kind of put your flag on this fight when there's really not that much data out there. So while I do want some exposure, the vast majority of my lineups probably aren't going to contain either guy from this fight. Sometimes you just got to go with what you know. And I think there are enough obvious high upside matchups that you don't need to target this one. Maybe it'll finish, and maybe it'll screw you over, but I think there are enough other matchups to target where this one isn't like a do or die situation. So, and also again, Henry, I've seen Timur knocked down. I've seen him get in bad positions. It's possible, it's possible Henry comes in and makes a statement at home. There's no evidence that that's what's going to happen. So, by far the toughest match to call on the card from a DraftKings perspective. But, if you're making 20 plus lineups, you can take a couple of each or choose a side. But, if you're making five or less lineups, I don't think there's any reason to target this fight.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's move on to a fight I know you're excited about. Two elite prospects. Just kidding. Charlie Ward taking on Galor Bafondo. Bafondo comes in minus 220, Ward the dog at plus 180 on DraftKings. Bafondo 8.6K and Ward 7.6K. So, Mike, which one of these two fighters is going to come home with all the glory?
Oh, man, that's the
you
first
like that?
One. Yeah, that's the first one. I'm just waiting for some type of Braveheart. We'll get that in there. Don't worry. This is a GPP fight, if I've ever seen one ever. It is ugly. Both guys are just not something you really want to take in your lineups. Ward, let's just start with Ward. Ward came into the UFC because he was Conor's boy. He got put up against Al-Haraq Al-Hazan, right? Mm-hmm. And he got annihilated. And it wasn't even close. I understand a lot of people in this matchup are saying Ward has grappling upside. And I understand that he does. He definitely does have upside. Galor has a tendency to get in these battles and then I don't know. I like to invest money in somebody that has good ring IQ, right? We always talk about that, right, Brett? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's mm-hmm. good ring IQ. Mm-hmm. Two disqualification losses. That's, to me, just not good ring IQ. So it's really interesting. He's flashy on the feet galore. He can get knockouts. We've seen it. And Ward just doesn't have a chin. And I think there's one path of victory for Ward, and it's to sit on him for three rounds. I guess you can get a sub. Yes, I think that Galore should be able to survive. Who the hell knows? I mean, I'm going to bank on Ward's lack of a chin, and this is not by any means a lock or even close to a lock. This is just going to be ugly, I think. And it shouldn't be on the FS1 prelims. This shouldn't even be on the Fight Pass prelims. This should be like a fight that's not even on the card.
Neither fighter is UFC level. No. I agree with you. I think people want to see a knockout. That's why it's on TV. But I'll disagree with you in a sense. I think Ward has a good chance to win this fight. I don't think Galore is UFC ready. From what I've seen on tape, he reminds me very much of Oluwole Bambose, and I know other people have made this comparison too, but you see all these highlight finishes where a guy is literally standing like this with his back against the cage while Galore, you know, does his thing and then does a spinning wheel kick and knocks him out. Like, that's great, but you need someone to stand there and wait for you to kick, you know, for you to kick them in the face. Like, that's kind of how he wins fights. He's a great kicker. I don't really think he's a good boxer. I don't think he's a good wrestler. I don't think he's a good grappler. So the problem is Ward is really bad too. So it's just kind of like, who is worse and how do these styles match up? I think if Ward stands there at kicking range, Galore will probably kick the crap out of him and finish him early. But if Ward puts pressure on him from the beginning, gets in boxing range, tries to wrestle, I think he's a really good shot to win this fight. I think the odds are, you know, nuts, essentially. I think it should be a dead even fight. You know, unless I'm just missing something on Galore, I think you could even say Ward's the favorite. I think it's a very close. I don't know how you could be confident either way. But I am expecting someone to get hurt, probably finish in the first round. So I think you got to have some exposure. The inside distance odds are not out yet, but I'm expecting Galore to have a very strong inside distance odd line. I also think Ward will have a fairly decent one too. So like Mike said, tournament fight for me, I'll probably be on the side of Ward. But it's just a guess, honestly, because both fighters are bad. So definitely get some exposure to it, and hopefully we get all the points galore.
Let's keep running with that. Now, under 1.5 is -140, so you're going to need exposure in tournaments for this. Let's just say real quick that Galore definitely hasn't fought the best competition. So, I mean, he's fought a 1-3, 5-14, and Charlie fights with Connor in a better gym and has fought better competition.
If we want to go further into the narratives, hasn't Galore fought like once in the last like 5 years?
Yeah, but that doesn't matter if you can just blow on the guy and he falls down with his chin's glass.
No. Let me look this up.
It was 3 years, I'm pretty sure.
Galore has fought. He fought in February of 2015. Before that, October 2012. So he's fought once since 2012, and he should be much smaller. So I don't know, man. That I feel like there's enough in Ward's favor for me to push him over at the price. But I think Galore is going to be popular. People are just going to blindly fade Ward, and I get it because he's not good, but.
Let's get off this. This is just not even worth talking about.
You know, I would like to spend another 20 minutes on this matchup. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. all right, let's get on to another fight. Alejandro Pantoja taking on Neil Siri in Siri's retirement fight. Pantoja is -360. Siri the dog at +300. Pantoja is relatively expensive, also 9K. Siri 7.2K. What do you got here?
Flyweights, fights that I love to target in general, lots of action. Neil has been kind of unlucky. He had that fight scheduled with Ian McCall, which McCall pulled out, and then he scheduled again, and Siri withdrew. Do you remember why Siri withdrew? I don't know if it was an injury or if it was a weight cut issue. Regardless, I'm concerned about this fight even necessarily happening, so let's monitor that as well. But let's get to the breakdown. Siri, one of his best traits is being durable. He hasn't been finished, I think, since like 2007, was it, or something? Even it was a long, long time ago, maybe 2009. Last time out, he was taken down 6 times. He was passed 6 times, and Kawajiri put up 72 significant strikes. I think we have a younger guy here in Pantoja trying to move up the leaderboard versus a guy that's, I'm not going to say is checked out in Siri, but we've seen things go awry. My God, it's blanking on me. The last time in England, the guy retired.
Pickett,
thank you. And I mean, he had the fight won. That was unfortunate for Pickett. But Siri, one of the best things that he does is he's just durable. But the problem is, for DraftKings purposes, durable doesn't win you points, doesn't get you points. He's got not the best stand-up, and I think that Pantoja really has his way here anywhere the fight goes. I think he's definitely got the advantage for takedowns and getting advances. I'm probably going to have a lot of Pantoja, and it does scare me a bit because I know Siri can have the veteran savvy in this fight. Any takes on this one? Because I really think the young kid here is going to have his way anywhere it goes on this. And again, it's a weird salary week too. Let's throw that out, where Pantoja's 9,000. You have Roberts 91, Taymor 9,000, Gunner at 89. So it's a flyweight bout that's going to have action. So based on that, I'm very interested in Pantoja at 9,000.
Yeah, I've heard some smart people talk up Neil Siri in this matchup, actually, for his boxing, really. And it's kind of concerning, but basically I agree with what you said. It's just so hard to pick against the younger, fresher, more explosive guy. We know Siri's on his way out. He's retiring after this fight. So let's just, I don't want to put a ton into Siri. I might take a share of him, but I do think Pantoja is worth a play. Like you said, though, Siri is pretty durable, rarely gets finished. I do think Pantoja could like sub him here, but probably not going to knock him out. I also like that every one of Siri's opponents has taken him down at least twice. Pantoja is not a good wrestler, but I think he's good enough to take Siri down. He's shown some offensive wrestling, so I like him a bit. This fight kind of concerns me, honestly, because I can't get a full read on it, but should be high action. I'll favor Pantoja. He's got some line value too, so but I would say if you're going heavy on Pantoja, it's probably smart to get a couple hedge lineups with Siri.
Definitely. I would. I'm interested in what his inside the distance is as well. We're going to have to guess at that. But
Pantoja, I would guess like plus 180. 170.
Yeah, 175 is what I was going to say. Yep. Yeah, which is a good line value. I mean, we're going to have a guy we talk about a little bit later that I hope you're on to that's going to have the odds on favorite inside the distance. So there's definitely value, I think, on Pantoja.
Yeah. Let's move on to the FS1 prelim headliner. Danny Roberts versus Bobby Nash. Roberts is the favorite at minus 170. It's actually fallen a little bit. Nash plus 150 on DraftKings. Nash is pretty expensive, 9.1K. Sorry, Roberts, 9.1K. Nash, 7.1K. What do you think here?
I think let's get nasty.
Really?
Sorry, I gotta try to one up you somehow, right?
That you didn't. It didn't work there.
All right. Well, if we have We have both guys coming off losses. They both got knocked out in their last fight, and they were both against some pretty heavy hitters. Something that interests me right off the bat is the takedowns. I think I was looking at it. Roberts basically gets taken down every fight. I think Nash does have a wrestling background, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And that certainly interests me. I know that Roberts is definitely going to have an advantage on the feet. I'm interested. I got to look at the inside the rounds here. It's -125 at 2.5 rounds. So this is definitely a fight that Vegas thinks is going to end inside the distance. Bobby Nash can resort on the takedowns, or I hate saying it over and over and over, but this is a great path of victory for Bobby Nash to do. He's not the worst on the feet either. He's pretty durable. He just, he got crushed by Lee Zhaoling, right? And I butchered that one too.
Yeah, you did.
It's oh, okay. It definitely interests me. He's the dog that I'm looking at the most. Roberts is definitely going to have the advantage on the feet, but I love the matchmaking on this card. We have a lot of wrestlers versus strikers. They're basically the same size. So if Roberts was having an advantage, like a reach advantage, I definitely would be taking Roberts here. But they're basically same size. Any hot takes on this one? Because I'm looking at the wrestler in Nash for the upset, and I think that he has passive victory to submit him as well.
No, I think you have the hot take. I don't want to spend too much time on this fight, but I think, you know, Roberts has faced Dominic Steele and Mike Perry in his last two fights, two really, you know, opposite but tough matchups. Nash has a little bit of both, some wrestling, some power, but I just don't think he's that great of a fighter. I think, yeah, he could get a couple takedowns. Yeah, he could win by knockout, but I think Roberts is way better on the feet, should have the advantage there, and is probably good enough to stop the majority of the takedowns and or get back up. So I favor Roberts. I think he could probably finish him. Nash just isn't a great striker. He got knocked out in his last fight. It took a lot from Mike Perry to knock out Roberts. So I'm on Roberts here, but I do think Nash is one of the many live dogs who you can kind of take a sprinkle on. But I
the
think
take down.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't concern you? It doesn't concern you, the takedown defense for Roberts, because he's been taken down basically every fight? You think that Bobby can control him on the ground? I guess it comes down to that.
It concerns me, but I think that he showed enough takedown defense against Dominic Steele that I don't think Nash is going to be at that level. Nash really isn't that great of a wrestler, in my opinion. And Mike Perry is a physical freak. So I don't think he's, you know, just those two fights isn't a good enough sample size for me to say he's a bad defensive wrestler. I think he's okay. So
Dominic Steele landed 6 takedowns on him.
I know, but he got back up. He scrambled well.
Okay.
Go watch the nice. Fight, man.
I know.
I'm just kidding. I'll do it right now. We got a lot of fights to talk about, not enough time. So let's move on to the main card. James Mulhern taking on Justin Willis, heavyweights here. Willis, a big favorite, -210. Mulhern, +175. Willis comes in at 8.7K and Mulhern, 7.5K. Is this another tournament fight you think we got to target?
Definitely. We have the inside, or not inside, the round is 1.5, and it's over -130. I think that's based on the wrestling that Willis has. He's got a great upside here, I think, in this matchup. The newcomer, well, they're both newcomers, but Willis was scheduled to fight before, and he's got a full camp on this one. So I'm really, I'm interested in investing a good amount of money into Willis on this particular one, because he's got a full camp behind him. He's got a lot of weight to cut. Comes from a wrestling background. Mulhern is basically comparable to Roy Nelson. He's undersized for it. He's like 240, and Willis should be having a weight advantage on this one. I see him basically controlling the whole fight. Willis should be able to get him against the cage, take him down at will. Mulhern, it is a heavyweight fight, so I mean, anything can happen. We've seen it a million times. But I think we'll probably agree Willis is one of the better favorites here on the card, at least I like per dollar.
I think he's got a lot of upside. I think it's kind of first round finish or bust for this entire fight for Willis. He's not a great striker. He's going to be at a significant technical disadvantage, but he's going to have so much size, so much power on Mulhern, and the wrestling, which is his bread and butter. He's just going to run out there and try to kill him in the first round. And if Mulhern survives, Willis will probably be gassed and Mulhern might be able to take over. I still kind of doubt he'll be able to finish him. He's just so small, doesn't have range. So it scares me when we need these high scoring grappling fights. I don't know. I don't know how much exposure I want to this fight besides for picking Willis specifically on the fact that he can kill him in the first round, hopefully land a takedown or two. So I like Willis. He'll have great inside the distance numbers, I think. Great tournament play, but be somewhat cautious on this fight because it could go long. And it certainly could be one of those fatty's gonna fatty type heavyweight decisions. Right.
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying, -130 on the over, but I think that's due to the wrestling too.
Yeah, I would agree. Let's move on to the next fight, a fight I am very excited for. Khalil Rountree Jr. taking on Scotland's own Paul Craig. Rountree is shockingly -210. Craig +175 is the dog. Rountree is 8.5K and Craig 7.7K. Do you agree with the line here? Because to me, it's basically a 50-50 fight.
Yeah. First thing I saw in this one was striker versus grappler. Has it all over it, and it's like really close because both have finishing upside. This is a tournament fight, but I do see merit in playing Paul Craig. Craig should be trying to take it to the ground. We've seen Khalil struggle there. A lot. I've got to just say this one quick. Khalil is a very frustrating fighter to be picking on DraftKings. We've seen him lose to Pedro, and people were on him to beat Pedro, and then Jolly. People picked Jolly. I've gotten it right the first two times here, so I'm hoping I can get it right here.
I've gotten it wrong both times.
I'm hoping I can get it right here. I like Paul Craig in this matchup. I do hope that he can get it against the cage, but man, Rountree hits like a horse, man. And I think it's so close and the line should be a little bit closer that I see merit to playing either of these guys because both have merit. Rountree's got the knockout power in the first round or second round, and Craig's got a finishing for a round or two for a submission if he can control it to the ground. So it is a close fight. I just have the take that Paul Craig at 7,700 is better value for what his upside is.
I think that's fair. Rountree is not a good grappler, and Craig really isn't great anywhere except for he's a decent grappler. I'm going to have to pick Rountree because I think it's going to come down to Craig getting the fight to the ground. Ultimately, right?
And
100%. My read is that he's not a good wrestler. He's almost never landed takedowns in his entire career, even regionally. He got taken down a ton of times, and that he got submitted some wins by submission off his back, which is great for him. He's good in transition. Maybe he gets some random transition submission, but I think he's going to struggle getting the fight to the ground. And therefore, I'm going to pick him to lose. It's as simple as that. If he won by submission, I would be 0% surprised. I think this is one of the highest fights to end inside the distance. Craig, I like just as much, if not more, only because he's much cheaper and he has the wrestling upside. So I'll probably be split on this fight. I think Rountree's going to win, but both are great tournament targets. Probably even more so Craig for the price. Really can't go wrong with having exposure to this one, I think.
Yep. Let's also mention Paul's got one of the best names, Bearjew. And again, Rountree did show a little bit of better defense for the takedowns last fight. Jolly shot in, and he just stopped it right away. So that does concern me.
It's true. That's honestly one of the fights I'm looking forward to most, which is kind of sad, but it should be a fun one. Let's move on to the next fight. Jack Marshman taking on Ryan James. Marshman comes in as biggest favorite on the card by far, -485. James the dog, +385. Bit of line value on Marshman, only 9.2K. James, 7K. I don't know. The line scares me on this one too, but I see why. You want to talk about this matchup?
Yeah, I was actually going to go right to the odds as well. It's funny we both thought alike there. The line scares me because I don't see Marshman as almost a -500 favorite, but he is a striker that should be able to kind of have his anything he wants on the feet. He should be landing volume, and I'm wondering if he can get him against the cage and knock him out or something crazy like that. James has grappling upside. It's there. So I'm interested in James a bit in tournaments, but I'm not sure what his inside is going to be. But this fight probably, let's see what it is inside. It's 1.5 rounds. It's over just by a small bit. I definitely see the fight ending within the distance. It's just, I don't know if James can get it to the ground. I think that Marshman should be able to keep it on the feet, and he should be able to do whatever he wants. He does hit really hard. James did get knocked out last time, but that was due to ground and pound, right? Wasn't it?
Or
is
it he got submitted?
Oh, but there was ground and pound that led to the submission, I think. So I'm worried about the odds, but I do see the value on Marshman now, like you had mentioned. Marshman out of this whole tier, we were just talking about the upper tier here. He to me seems like the best ceiling because he could get two or three knockdowns.
I'm going to play him in tournaments. He has a significant striking advantage. James, like he fights like a zombie. He just like walks and like at you like this and really doesn't even move his head as much as I just did there. Marshman is basically a pure boxer, so James is going to be walking into his power shots, and I think Marshman probably hurts him and puts him out. The problem I have is I don't think he's going to grapple at all. Marshman's also a pretty poor grappler, just defending takedowns especially, and I think James can get him to the ground. That honestly concerns me. So I might throw, I might throw a sprinkle of James, but Marshman should win this fight. There's a reason he's almost 5-1. You can play him in cash. I think Johns is probably safer for the wrestling, but I expect Marshman to be popular. People know James isn't great, and I think he'll be one of the higher on guys on the card.
Yep, definitely. You're relying on the knockout, and so far Vegas is saying it's going to happen.
Let's move on to the next fight before we run out of time. Stevie Ray taking on Paul Felder. Close fight here. Ray -135, Felder +115. Both are 8.1K. Which side are you going on?
I'm going to have to go with Braveheart in Braveheart land. I like Stevie Ray here. I think that, it's going to be a great fight. I think that they both have great striking. And I'm a little bit concerned because when you get these two strikers that know what they're both capable of, the tendency can be to slow down a little and the volume isn't going to be there. I really like Stevie Ray, though. He can get the takedowns if need be. He has the age, right? He's younger, and he should be able to do what he wants, and he's in his home lane. He's going to have the crowd behind him. I really like Paul Felder. It's difficult to bet against him, but they're both 8,100. You have a bunch of line value right now. More money's coming in on Ray. It opened up as a pick 'em, I believe. And
close enough.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking at Ray here. Like we were saying, long-term, I'm looking at that line value.
I agree with you on the line value for now. We'll see how it changes. I think it's a sneaky matchup to like almost fade, though. I never like targeting Felder. He doesn't wrestle much. He doesn't strike that often. He's just kind of a, a low output striker, and that's fine. But for fantasy, I want tons of takedowns. I want finishes. And the line is like -240 to go over 2.5 rounds, which I think will surprise people. I think Felder is going to win, actually. I if I had to pick right now, I would pick Felder. I think he's the better striker. But if I want one person from this matchup, I'm probably going to take Ray, because I think he has a decent chance to get some takedowns. He has a little bit of, you know, home field advantage too. He has some odds value. So I kind of prefer Ray, even though I think Felder will probably take the decision. I want to do my best to just kind of lower my exposure as a whole to this fight, though, because I think it will be popular, and I don't think it needs to be.
Yeah, one of my – that was when I first looked at it, too, is it's striker versus striker, and they're both going to rely on the striking unless Ray can take it to the ground. But you're 100% right with Felder. He does have low output. His 41 strikes, 46 strikes, so his ceiling is pretty limited, but he could get the win, and that's what you're trying to look for, I guess, if you were to take him.
Let's move on to the co-main event. A fight I think a lot of us are excited for. Cynthia Calvillo taking on Joanne Calderwood. Calvillo, pretty big favorite, -210. Calderwood, +175. On DraftKings, Calvillo is 8.8K. Calderwood, 7.4K. I'm not sure the line is right on this one either, but Calvillo wrestling, does that mean we target her?
Absolutely, especially because we've seen Calderwood struggling with the takedowns. But let's not sleep on JoJo's voice. She has the best voice. It's the best voice in the game.
You should do more impressions.
Yeah, thanks. Just because I can talk like a little girl. she's a grown woman. Don't beat me up. I understand the line, and it's because you got a hype train behind Cynthia. She's got the grappling. She can control. I'm worried about the stand-up. Every fight starts on the feet. I think that Calderwood has an advantage, and a pretty significant advantage on the feet. I'm not sure how long it's going to last, though. I think Cynthia knows. She's a smart fighter. She comes out of the alpha male. And even in a three-round submission win against Pearl Gonzalez, she was able to do 87 points. Now, I would have rather her gone three rounds, to be honest. I think she would have scored more points in a three-round decision than she would have subbing her in the third. Then in her first fight, she beat Amanda Cooper by submission at 108 points. So I think that she, on DraftKings, has a ton of upside because of the passes. She's constantly looking for different things on the ground. But again, I do not understand how she's this big of a favorite. I do not see the line as it stands right now. And I think JoJo goes overlooked in this situation. I really do. I think that she can have some huge output on the feet. And I'm hoping that she's gotten the takedown defense squared away. That last fight, Andrade just took it right to the ground, and she's just a beast anyways. But the game plan's there to kind of go in and get the takedown and control her. I'm hoping that she can square it away, because I am interested in Calderwood striking. She should have an advantage. And again, she should be able to land at will. Another dog here probably we're looking at, but I do think Calvillo does win the fight personally. So yeah, I like Calvillo, but I think Calderwood has a lot of merit to be playing on DraftKings.
I pretty much agree with everything you said. Look, I'm just as big of Calvillo fan as anyone. I was on her from day one. But I don't know that she has great striking, and I think Calderwood does have the advantage, and that's concerning. On the other hand, Calderwood's probably not going to be getting the takedowns and passes in the submission. So I don't think she's going to be overlooked, though. People know who she is. She's cheap. I think people will play her. I'd be shocked if she was under like 25% owned. So I will have some exposure to her. I think she's a live dog, but I definitely like Calvillo for the wrestling, for the scrambling, the passes, like you said. I'm still not sure that I see her getting a finish, but it's definitely in play. I'll probably roster her every fight until she, proves that it's not worth it. But I do think she has the upside in this spot. I don't think it's a lock by any means, but I do want some exposure to her. Let's move on to the main events. Best fight on the card by far, Gunnar Nelson taking on Santiago Ponzinibbio. This is I've seen a lot of people go both ways on this fight. Nelson is the favorite, -160. Big drop from -200 the other day. Ponzinibbio, the dog, 140 on DraftKings. Gunner, 8.9K. Ponzinibbio, 7.3K. Who do you like?
Grappling. But I see this. Listen, I think both guys, it's close. It's a close fight because Gunner isn't great on the feet, but he has been showing improvement. I believe that we keep going with these themes that the UFC is sending people over in certain situations to kind of give them a good situation. Is this Ponzinibbio's first fight, though, I believe, out, you know, kind of being shipped over here? And it's this big step up, too, for Ponzinibbio. I think Gunnar is very composed, very, very composed inside the octagon. And he's got his game plan, and he knows what he's got to do. It's weird. I never say stack, but I would definitely stack this fight, Brett, in cash. Even I am going to say that. That's saying a lot.
I don't know if I want to this week, honestly.
That's awesome, because I think that it does not finish fast. I think they're going to both be kind of hesitant to engage, especially on the feet. We have a -210 on the over 1.5. I'm going to be interested to see what the inside the distance on both guys are. Ponzinibbio, it's another situation where you get the striker versus grappler. I find myself putting him in lineups to give the salary relief because Gunnar is so expensive. And what concerns me about Gunnar is that he has the capability of kind of controlling him on the ground for 2 or 3 rounds, and then maybe getting a third or fourth round even finish on the ground. Now, that's great and all, but I'm not sure if it's going to be high scoring. Personally, I don't know if he's going to be able to get advantages at will or whatever. Ponzinibbio is pretty darn durable. We haven't really seen him on the ground, right? I mean, we're not really sure, but he's pretty good. So it's another one of these situations where I'm kind of handicapping it as Nelson could get a late third or fourth and not score too high, but he does have the upside to get the first or second round. So it's an interesting fight. I'm going back and forth in my brain as I'm trying to break this down because it's just so difficult. You have to go on DraftKings with the grappler, but Ponzinibbio has such an advantage on the feet. I'm going to go with Gunny here because he's fighting. Iceland is pretty close to Scotland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so we got that theme, you know. I think he should have a better gas tank than Ponzinibbio. We haven't seen Ponzinibbio go 5. We've never seen Nelson really go 5. But I believe he's, you know, fighting in his hometown. I guess we're not going to say home, but near home. And I'm going to go with Nelson here because of the grappling upside, but in very interesting fight.
Well, if you want my full breakdown, you can get MMA Premium because we only got a couple minutes left here, and I do not have enough time to give my full thoughts on it. So I do think you broke it down well, though.
It's close.
I do like Ponzinibbio more than most. I'll say that, and I'll explain why in my breakdown. But before we go, who do you think? Like, talk about the ownership here, because I've seen a lot back and forth. I think Gunnar Nelson is going to be more popular.
Yeah, I do think so, because we have Calderwood right above, and I think people can get Calderwood and Gunnar in a lineup. Do you know what I mean? Like, just lineup construction wise, I believe that would be a reason why people wouldn't be rostering Ponzinibbio.
Yeah.
But it does look like a lot of underdogs on this card that could come through. So definitely watch line movement, and should be a good week.
There are so many live dogs. I think you should definitely get exposure to Ponzinibbio, but you should get exposure to Craig, to Calderwood, to, who else ever. All the names we talked about during this show. I think Gunnar Nelson's a good play too, but he's not as important because he's so expensive, but still a great play. It's the main event. We don't have too much time left here. So hope you guys all have a great week. It's Sunday card. Wake up early in the morning and watch fight. Nothing better than that. Mm-hmm. From myself, from Mike, good luck in tournaments. Good luck in all your matches this week. And we will see you, I believe, next week and then in 2 weeks for UFC 214. So bye, everybody. Enjoy.